Hi, I'm Peter Hill, and this is the D-Word podcast, where we talk dementia. Welcome along to the D-Word podcast, and on this edition we're talking one of my favourite subjects, music. From buying my first Beatles single, it's played a massive part in my life, and there's been plenty of research on the importance of musical memories. My guest is professional musician and founder of Musical Walkabout, Nina Clark. So how did Nina first get involved in the Musical Walkabout project?
Thank you for having me, Pete. It's a pleasure to speak to you today. So Musical Walkabout originated about 8 years ago now. We started in 2015, and it came out of I'm a professional musician, firstly, but also a teacher, music teacher, peripatetic, as well as a performing, musician. So I have this real passion in my life for bringing more people into the activity and, engaging more people with music. So that, idea of inclusivity is really central to Musical Walkabout's ethos. And I was doing some different projects, and some of them were in care homes, and it turned into just a really fortuitous opportunity where originally the Walkabout's format was one-to-one. And we ran like that for 6 years and up until COVID, really. So 5 years, I guess, actually. And that was really the foundation of our business, was this sense of making a connection with someone using music. So a lot of our participants are people living with a dementia, as well as people experiencing social isolation or people in caregiving roles. And it was really something that seemed to bring such a lot of joy so readily. That it was really encouraging. We were encouraged to continue developing that idea, and now we provide all sorts of different services and workshops and courses and activities, it's a joyful business to run. I do love Musical Walkabout.
Yeah, I think it's great. One small idea, All that has come about, hasn't it? Which is quite amazing. I mean, music is so powerful. It's followed me through my life. Do you still think that it's not 100% appreciated, the real power of music?
I agree. I mean, I'm always all for more appreciation of it. I think it's about respecting the value, isn't it? And I think as soon as people experience the benefits of using music in, therapeutic ways or, ways to support your well-being, I think it's very easy to create advocates and people will, pass that message along. But I think there's still such a barrier to inclusion in music that not enough people have access. So particularly people, who are experiencing social isolation, there is it's a human right. It is actually in the Bill of Human Rights that our access to culture, and in particular music, that's a birthright. So I'm really passionate about bringing more people into that conversation. And absolutely, I will always say it, once you get people's foot through the door, they do understand the value and they will shout about that from the rooftops. But it's just increasing access, I think, is the really important thing. And making sure people understand that you don't need permission. There's no one needs to come along and give you permission to get involved. But, I'll be there, with the rest of, everyone enjoying music, just absolutely egging everyone along, really.
Yeah, it's kind of strange you say about improving access, because, I guess with technology now, we've probably got the greatest access we've ever had to music.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think certainly for people where technology is not an issue, that's a fabulous resource. even things as simple as, you know, WhatsApp and sharing YouTube links to songs over a WhatsApp thread. That's something, you know, my friends, as well as my, you know, musical walkabout groups do regularly, because it's such an easy way to keep the music flowing. But that's not necessarily available to everyone. And so particularly, I'm doing some work with Age UK, and have been for the last couple of years. And we're starting a project in the coming months to focus on rural communities. So people who perhaps don't have the same resources as towns, and maybe really live out in the sticks, and maybe their Wi-Fi is really bad. So, you know, just making sure no one's left behind, I think, is our main goal there.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that is really important, because, I mean, you know, music for me, I was having a look at your website, and I've seen the Decades playlist on Spotify, which I think is great. And I'm just sitting there picking out probably three or four tracks that bring back really prominent memories for me just on that playlist.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything crop up in particular?
There's
such a beautiful roster in there, isn't there?
Yeah,
there's some lovely crooners. I'm a big fan of the crooners myself.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, and also what impressed me is the whole range. Because I do feel that, particularly in care settings, when I worked for the Alzheimer's Society, they were almost locked into this. If we've got people living with dementia of a certain age, then they want to hear songs from this era.
Wartime. Absolutely.
Some of those songs are great.
Yeah.
And it kind of came back to me when a 90-year-old tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Pete," and I said, "What?" She said, "Can I have some ABBA or Michael Bublé?"
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, you're hitting upon such a valid and vital point there, Pete, because I think this was when I started Musical Walkabout in 2015. I went into that situation with exactly those same preconceptions, thinking, oh, okay, it'll be, you know, the Great American Songbook, so all the jazz tunes, and it'll be, you know, some wartime stuff. Great, I love all of that music. That's fantastic. Only to find, absolutely, those songs are welcomed, but it's massively much more vast than that. So as you would imagine, the myriad of musical genres and eras and, you know, and artists and composers are what people want to hear, because everyone is an individual, and no one is just going to fit into a box. So it just has meant that over the last 8 years, what was already a pretty large repertoire at our disposal has become enormous. And, you know, it's well over, you know, 200 years worth of song. It's absolutely, you know, we try to span centuries with our music, as well as diverse genres, because I've had people want to hear Black Sabbath in a care home. And you've got to have some Black Sabbath in the book if you're going to, you know, make an inclusive offer to people in that way. And I think that's one of the things I love most about my job, is that a week will not go past without a fantastic request or suggestion or recommendation being made to me. Dirty Old Town by The Spinners came up this week. So, you know, and I think I knew that one, but you forget, and, you know, it all comes back around. So, yeah, it's tremendous. That's a really big part of Musical Walkabout's ethos, is trying to open up that conversation around music and encourage everyone in that conversation to have a bit more of a broad perspective on it, which means coming at that offer in different ways. So we're really, you know, absolutely hot on the idea of, don't ask someone what their favorite song is, because that's such a narrow. If the person does know what that is, that's a one answer they're going to give you, as opposed to, could you ask them, you know, what style of music they enjoy, or what styles of music they enjoy, and then you've got an ongoing conversation that keeps evolving over time. And that's really what we are aiming to do, is foster connection and bonds with people, and get to know them through their absolutely diverse musical tastes. There's people I've known for many years that I'm now discovering, oh, you like Steely Dan, or, oh, hang on, I and you know, it's very easy to feel like you've pegged someone as you're the country and music, you know, country western lover, but also they love opera, you know. It's, and as well as, I think, really fascinating to me, the capacity for change and evolution in people's tastes, whereby, you know, someone will say at the beginning of, you know, I might have got to know someone over 5 years, at the beginning of that time, they'll really hate classical music, and by the end of it, they're listening to Brahms. And that's not me making them do that. That's just that we are always evolving as individuals. So there's no limit to what we can explore together.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
You're in tune with the D Word podcast, and I'm talking music with my guest Nina Clark from Musical Walkabout.
Yeah, and I guess we're, you know, we're evolving through generations as well.
Yeah.
You know, the 60s we'll look back on, now the 70s, and we're, you know, we're even veering into the 80s with
absolutely
people that are going to be a care home community.
Yeah. And I think that particularly, there you go, you mentioned Michael Bublé. There's a younger artist who is spanning many, many decades with his repertoire and calling back to some of those old time crooners, but also adding his own new originals to that roster. And I think there's that lovely melting pot approach that is always possible in music. You know, that fusion of different times and places and people and cultures is what makes music so amazingly adept at helping us communicate with each other.
Yeah, I think, you know, you asked me about the playlist. I just see the inclusion of something from Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
And immediately I'm transposed back to my teenage mate's bedroom, and I'm sitting on the corner of his bed listening to a big Revox tape recorder, which had a copy of Dark Side of the Moon on it.
Wow. Isn't that tremendous how we're able to be, you know, that. We're, you know, absolutely transported to these magical moments in our history. So that reminiscence is really important to our practice at Musical Walkabout, as well as sort of fostering opportunities to make new memories with each other and build a sense of anticipation for the next time we meet, and, you know, be forward thinking as well as back. So, yeah, it's magical, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you've got a great quote on your website, which basically says, "Can speak when we cannot find words." And it is so important with people living with dementia that can become a very insular form, and that you can actually, you know, got conversation starter there, haven't you?
Absolutely. Also, people who will perhaps be presenting as, you know, having lost the power of speech, I mean, in non-verbal, will also sing whole songs, including all the lyrics. It's just the power music has. It's using different neural pathways and absolutely stimulates cognition. So it's a great conversation starter. It's just good for the brain. You know, it's good for us socially. And I think, I was listening again to your lovely chat with Eric Kolb from Songs and Smiles, and, you know, how he talks about connection and how that is so important within families when, you know, when dementia has become a part of a family experience, that we don't just stop communicating, that we use whatever tools we have to hand, and music is such a powerful and easily usable tool, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's really great when it's intergenerational as well. When, you know, you get grandparents playing something that, you know, their grandsons or granddaughters can say, "Oh, that's nice."
Absolutely. I think that that's such a wonderful gift, isn't it, that we can give one another across the generations. And it's a bit of a window into our experiences as human beings and our generations, is to be able to say, well, yeah, this is the stuff we're listening to, and this is what it means to us. And there's always some like through line. There's always some link, and no matter how diverse or different the music might sound, it's usually coming from mention in like Samuel Pepys's diary where he's just like bitching about the youth of today. He's like, oh, 'twas ever thus. And it's that sort of commonality that I think because music from our youth is so powerfully restored in us, and you know, it's kept in, you know, in our memories beyond many other things, there's always like that commonality, that similar experience of maybe there's some rebellion or frustration, or you know, the first stirrings of love, you know. So there's always something that you can find in a different generation's music that will resonate with you.
Yeah, I can always remember my dad saying the Beatles will never last, and 25 years later he was listening to them saying, isn't that Paul McCartney great?
I only took him 25 years. That's not bad.
Absolutely. Tell me about a few projects you've been involved with. Firstly, the Thrive project.
Yes, thank you, Pete, for the opportunity to talk about Thrive. So, obviously, COVID has had an impact on everybody's lives and also working lives as well. So prior to COVID, Musical Walkabout would be going into care homes and making... our sessions were person-centred and still are, but they would be in person and one-to-one, with myself being guided room to room by a member of staff or a family member, meeting people, or, you know, re-meeting many times because I have a really solid client base that we've, you know, fostered relationships over many years with our residents. So all of that had to cease when COVID hit. And after an initial sort of total cessation of services, we were given a small amount of money from the Arts Council in 2020 to pilot how it would work over Zoom, which it did. It, you know, worked brilliantly, in fact, and was, I think, for myself as well as for our participants, something of a lifeline to the outside world. And then in 2021, through the success of that pilot, we were given a much larger amount of money by the Arts Council to run that out in a big way. So the Thrive project had many arms to it and many sub-projects. So the minstrel part of it, so our music, person-centred music over Zoom, one-to-one, that was one arm of it. There was also... three different online groups, Music Helps, Yo Songsters and Songsters Care. And those were different iterations of staff training, a big melting pot music group and a group for people in caregiving roles. And we also were doing a sort of virtual tour of the UK with our staff training. So that is the thing that we've taken from Thrive, was how vital that lifeline was to us all. So those groups have now become in-person groups, which we continue to, you know, deliver with care and make sure that's as COVID-friendly as possible, as well as taking that Music Helps staff training package and rolling that out online, which it now is launching this spring. So yeah, it was a huge learning curve, because those were all things that I had done at different times in person and in different formats, but we were doing it all at the same time, and And it was also the first time I'd been able to collaborate with so many other professionals in such an intense way. So we had our first member of staff come on board, and we had, an absolutely fantastic roster of professionals from the healthcare industry partnering with us and monitoring the project and then evaluating it. So we came out of 2021 with, an absolutely amazing amount of services that we can now provide, but also some really important evidence about how vital it is to people's well-being. So yeah, Thrive is the legacy of Thrive is Music Helps, which is essentially where we're putting a lot of our energy going forward, which is trying to engage staff and people in caregiving roles and people living with dementia, and looking at how we can train staff to feel like they're more confident and have the skills and resources to deliver music activities to support their own well-being as well as the well-being of their charges. So yeah, it's a great fun. Oh my gosh, I love it so much.
Yeah, it must have been great to get that evaluation, because you have a hunch. Absolutely. About things, don't you? I'm doing the right thing. Yeah. This is really working. But when you actually get it in black and white, that must have been a really good feeling.
Absolutely. We've been so fortunate. And I think that's what's really useful about the Arts Council funding us on the three occasions that they have, is that they require you to report back to them in quite a lot of detail. So a professional external evaluation was always part of each of those bids. So our original Arts Council funding in 2016, like way back in the mists of the beginnings of Musical Walkabout, that was also professionally evaluated. And so we knew that we were on to something, and there's, my God, decades of evidence about how music is beneficial for health and well-being. But we knew we were on something, so it was amazing for us to get the opportunity to evaluate again these newer elements of our service, the staff training and the support for caregivers as well. So absolutely, it's any feedback we ever get is always really valuable and taken to heart, and we fold that into our practice as soon as possible. But having such a wide-ranging response from our participants and our professional partners was tremendously rewarding, and keeps you going, essentially.
Absolutely. And one thing impressed me was work with young onset dementia, because we kind of plugged that a bit on the show, because it's kind of the forgotten world. Yeah. That people always think dementia is a condition of age, whereas it certainly isn't.
No, absolutely. And I think there's something of a, excuse me, there's something of a perhaps misunderstanding about dementia just generally, as if people think it is one thing, but there are over obviously 400 different types of dementia. And our work in the young onset community is absolutely at the heart of our practice. In terms of what we're hoping is that people bring more music into their daily life, not just when they're with us. So, that idea of early intervention and giving people the skills and confidence to use music in that way as early in their dementia journey as possible. So, it is very, I think you make a really important point there, Pete, which is that it is often not talked about and forgotten, and perhaps thought of as a silent disease or something that people don't really have a good understanding of, but it still perhaps engenders some fear in the general public as something that they don't want to talk about. So it's been really amazing for Musical Walkabout to bring on board as a trustee one of our participants, Jo Hurley, who is living with a young onset dementia diagnosis and is an amazing advocate and activist and public speaker about her experience. So, Jo is really always in my mind as a person I can turn to. And she is the first person to say, if you want to know more about any of this, talk to someone who's living with a dementia. And she's so right. That is absolutely the best thing any of us can always do. And since one in three people will live with a dementia at some point in their life, there's no shortage of people we can talk to. So I think it's if we can break down some of the barriers around that and foster those conversations and have, you know, music be a part of that and make that a fun and, you know, lightweight sort of, you know, light energy kind of way of approaching that conversation, then we're doing what we set out to do, I think.
Yeah, most certainly. I mean, you're right down our street with, you know, everything you said there. Because I think, you know, it is very important. The reason why we set this show up, really, is to keep people talking. Hashtag Let's Talk Dementia.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've had it said by professionals, I had it said with people living with dementia, we're probably where something like cancer was 40 years ago,
yeah.
Need to catch up. And I think it's so important that we talk to people living with dementia, because I must admit, at the beginning of the show, I went to a few Dementia Action Alliances and pointed at an empty chair, and everybody looked at me and said, well, what are you doing? And I said, well, that's where the person living with dementia should be sitting, because there wasn't anyone. And you think,
Oh, wow.
You know, we got it from the people that are going through this.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, isn't it? Because I think there's some, there's people may be making a distinction. And we may have, over the last few decades, become more comfortable talking about diseases like cancer and dementia. Is a roster of diseases, and it is as simple as that. There's nothing that precludes us being able to have a conversation with someone experiencing that disease, and to understand that it's okay, I think, to get it wrong. And maybe that's got to be part of the conversation as well, because we're all learning, you know, every day. And to expect is expectations, isn't it? We might go into a conversation with expectations about it. And that's, I guess, the main problem is perhaps let go of your expectations and just communicate with a human and let go of that. So, yeah, absolutely. I think that's what we mean by raising awareness, isn't it? It's like just that there's a person in front of you. They're a human, and you're allowed to have a conversation with them.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
You're in tune with the D Word podcast, and I'm chatting to my guest Nina Clark from Musical Walkabout.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I remember my first time standing outside a hall which contained 18 people all living with dementia. And I had this moment which said, well, what am I going to do here? And then suddenly I had this kind of little tap on the shoulder with a voice going, well, just go in there and be yourself.
Yeah.
So I did. And I thought, wait a minute, why am I being so concerned about this? Because,
sure.
That, you know, that isn't Dennis with dementia. That's Dennis. That isn't Iris with dementia. It's Iris.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the more people we can communicate that idea to, the better. Because that's really, I think, where such a lot of the social isolation stems from, is a fear of how to communicate. And I think that's why I'm so powerfully passionate about music being part of that roster of tools that we use with one another, not just, you know, going one way, but flowing back and forth. I've been led on amazing journeys by participants through the music that they choose to share with me. So, yeah, it's oh. Excuse me, that was a lead falling down. My room is full of musical things. Yeah, I think it's really such an important thing to try to communicate to everyone that you're allowed to have a conversation and just, yeah, get to know more people as well. I'm always fascinated to have a conversation with someone and, you know, learn something about them. And that will be different with every person you speak to.
Oh, most certainly. You know, I look back on my own life and it's kind of built on three pillars of humour, sport and music.
There you go.
And I will find that I can talk to anybody about any of those three subjects and we have something in common immediately.
Yeah, that's a lovely way to break that down, Pete. I like that. Absolutely. You know, we all have those common threads that run through our lives. And because music is such a soundtrack to people's histories and you know, within their families as well, it's such a beautiful thing to be able to share that with another person, particularly as a way to get to know them. So, you know, I always feel, I'm sure I heard someone say once upon a time, you know, as soon as they knew someone liked Led Zeppelin, they were a friend for life. And it's like that, isn't it? It's like you'll learn something you weren't expecting to learn, and everyone comes away from that exchange better, you know, more engaged, feeling more connected and happier, hopefully.
Absolutely. Time's passing on. Just want to go on to your next project, which is Project Play It Forward, which obviously brings in a kind of relatively new concept of social prescribing into the game.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pete. Play It Forward is our annual campaign. So it's such a passion of mine to... I never knew what it was called. I didn't know social prescribing was social prescribing until, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And as soon as I learnt there was a term for it, I was like, oh, and there are people who do that for a job. Oh, my God, that's the key person that's missing from our business model. Because what like we were saying at the beginning of this conversation, access is such a, you know, key part of the momentum that we need to gain to get people engaged. And part of the restriction to access is not knowing something is available. So if you don't know what services are available in your community, or that you don't know that they might be beneficial to your health and well-being, then, you know, you're missing out. And also that service isn't fulfilling its potential. So as service providers, when we discovered social prescribing was actually a thing, it has been, you know, our massive goal ever since then to talk about social prescribing, to engage social prescribing link workers, and to keep trying to push the, you know, the agenda essentially for music for well-being. So Play It Forward started during our Thrive year, so in 2021. And because I have a propensity to overdo projects or go overboard, it started out as a 30-day campaign. So we did 30 days of Play It Forward in 2021, which was amazing but exhausting. So in 2022, we did 7 days. And in 2023, we're going to have 1 day. But I think that's the idea is that I was thinking, oh, gosh, I mean, how many, you don't have a red nose week, do you? You have red nose day. So in order to focus our energies and our attention on 1 day, we will be this year having a Play It Forward day in October during the Alzheimer's Awareness Week. So it's going to be another, you know, roster of fun activities, essentially. But really, it's everything you're saying, Pete. It's let's talk about dementia. And it's the idea of, you might have heard the expression, pay it forward. So to keep, you know, passing on the baton of help or support or, you know, whatever it might be. And we like to play it forward. So we want to just keep connecting people to this idea and bringing more people aboard the Good Ship musical walkabout. So, yeah, that's Play It Forward. And it's all just about helping people keep the music flowing.
Well, we'll look forward to that in October and certainly thank give you a mention here on the show. It's been delightful, Nina. I've really enjoyed it. We'll have to get together again and talk about those things that we haven't had time to talk about today. But
absolutely. And you must come on our podcast soon.
Lovely. We'd love to. Yeah. that would be great because, you know, one of the things of setting this up has been how brilliant it's been to meet other people that are podcasting, meet other people throughout the world that are doing radio. And we've all got kind of this little bond, really. There's no competition or whatever. You know, I've worked in the media for a long time. Can be a cutthroat industry, but this is certainly the most joyous job I've ever had because there's no competition and everybody's aiming for the same thing.
It's a community.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I look forward to inviting you onto our Music Helps podcast when we launch in the spring.
Brilliant. I very much look forward to being there. Thank you so much, Nina.
And my pleasure, Pete.
You've now become a friend of the D Word, so do keep in touch.
Thank you so much and have a great day.
Thanks, Nina. Always a pleasure to talk music. And if you want to find more about her work, then it's all on the website at www.musicalwalkabout.com. Well, that's it for this edition of the D Word podcast. Hope you'll join me again soon for some more Dementia Talk.